Greetings and welcome to Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today, don't touch that dial, we're moving from music to, well, we're staying in music, but we're moving from the typical artist and band feature that we do over to television. We're doing more of a TV theme for today's show, and not just TV themes, but TV themes done by a very specific writer, songwriter, performer, a guy named Mike Post.
I'm really glad that you bought off on this idea. I was excited about doing this one, and it was a real walk down memory lane. More than
it was for me too. And I think our listeners are going to go through a lot of the same stuff that I went through in varying degrees. Like when you bring up Mike Post, people might think, oh yeah, you know, Hill Street Blues and Rockford Files and stuff like that. A-Team. And then they'll go deeper or go into the show, kind of like what I did, and said, oh, I didn't realize that that theme was a Mike Post theme, or that this one over here was a Mike Post theme. And I think in varying degrees, a lot of our listeners are going to go through that as well. And it may be that they're familiar with a dozen of his themes and they discover some that he was involved with, new ones that he was involved with. Or they might come in knowing one or two, or they might come in not knowing any that are actually connected with him. And then they realize so many are connected with him.
Yeah, no, it was a ton of fun. And I thought I knew a lot about what he'd done, but because I owned all those TV theme albums.
Did you?
Yeah, I owned all those. And then I got rid of them and I, you know, hearing all this stuff again, just brought a smile to my face. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. And
yeah,
it was fun. I really enjoyed this week.
This was another good week. Obviously enjoyed Foo Fighters last week. And I enjoyed this week because it was, I don't know, so different from Foo Fighters. I felt like we did a great job of putting these two shows up against each other.
And also all of these songs, even if they're bad, they're bite-sized songs.
They are bite-sized songs. And even if they're not, like even if they're the 3-minute or 5-minute extended version of the theme, you only really need to listen to the first minute of it to know exactly what's going on. So let's get into it. Mike Post, as we mentioned, best known for his television theme songs. His first credited work was cutting demos for The Mermaids with a U. Their first single, Popsicles and Icicles, went to number 3 in 1964.
Icicles, baseball, and fancy clothes. These are a few of the things he loves. He loves me, eyes and brown eyes and wind blown.
Did we cover them in the girl group?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember talking about The Mermaids.
Okay.
Or that song, Popsicles and Icicles. I might even need a refresher on that song, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because all I can think of is Incense and Peppermints, which I know is a completely different song and a completely different band and not even a girl group.
Strawberry Alarm Clock, isn't it?
It is Strawberry Alarm Clock, yes.
Look at that. No Google there. I leave that cold.
Yep. That's, I think for a friend of mine, that was the song that was number one either when she was born or, yeah, I think that was the song that was number one when she was born. So that's one that, that's always in my mind. Not always in my mind, but always connected because of that. A year later in 1965, he was a producer for The Outkasts, a garage rock band from Texas. Outkast.
Yeah. Or The Offspring.
Right. No, a lot of bands that are not. In 1969, he released Fused as the Mike Post Coalition. And at the age of 23, he won his first Grammy for Best Instrumental Arrangement on Mason Williams' Classical Gas.
So I had no idea he was involved with that.
Yeah. So now what is his technical involvement? Did he produce that song by Mason Williams?
I think he helped with the arrangement, according to the award.
Well, I guess, it says Best Instrumental Arrangement. So I didn't know if he just went up there with Mason Williams. Then what did Mason Williams do if he didn't arrange that song? Because it's not like there are vocals.
No, so he probably wrote it. And
Digging the classical gas. Ding, 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 ding.
So he wrote it, and then probably as they were recording, the arranger puts in like different instrumentation and how they come up in volume and how much you hear of certain things and how much you don't hear of certain things as far as the tonal quality of it being played. Then when it goes into the mix, they mix and master, you know, electronically. But as far as arranging, he helps with the instrumentation and adding certain things.
I'm smelling classical gas. Did you pass classical gas?
That's when an old man does it.
That's when an old man does it. That's right. Exactly. Otherwise, it's fresh gas. When he was 24, he got his first job in TV working on the Andy Williams show. He also wrote the theme for a short-lived show called Toma in 1973.
So I was really hoping that was going to say trauma, and I was just misreading it.
Like it was the Toxic Avenger movie studio. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, but I was wrong. I was my hopes were dashed upon, you know, further research. But I really, for a heartbeat, really wanted him to have worked with Lloyd Kaufman.
Oh, that'd have been great. When he was billed as the Mike Post Coalition, the track Afternoon of the Rhino peaked at number 47 in the UK charts in 1975. He also produced three albums for First Edition, which is the band that Kenny Rogers was part of. And I'm wondering if his time producing that overlaps when the song... what condition my condition was in. Let's see, between 1967 and 1969. Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town is a First Edition, Kenny Rogers in the First Edition track, not a just straight Kenny Rogers.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that at all.
So going back to Afternoon of the Rhino, I feel like this is a song I need to have in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't argue with you. I think that sounds, I don't know what it is, but it sounds like something we need to hear.
In fact, if I can find it, expect a clip right about here.
Okay, good. By the way, just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Came out in 1968, so that would have been produced by Mike Post.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a great track. And if you don't think you're familiar with that, then you need to rewatch The Big Lebowski, because that's I think that's the song that's playing during his bowling dream. His dream with the Viking. Wait a minute. Tell me. Say that again.
I have never seen The Big Lebowski.
Oh my gosh, Hammond. We need to fix that.
I've never seen that. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No, you're killing me. All right. Why do you tell me this after your birthday when I could send you...
Oh, my birthday's next month.
Oh, it is. Okay. Guess what you're getting? You're getting a couple things for your birthday.
I'm writing them down right now. Because
not only do you need to watch those, you need to own.
I'm really glad. I'm glad, or am I sad that Kenny Rogers' first group wasn't called Kenny Rogers and the Roasters?
Yeah. Either way, it's fine. You know, I think it would have been great if that was the case, but I think you can be glad that it's not. Yeah. Totally
fine. Yeah. But maybe he could do it now. He's still out there performing.
Kenny Rogers and the Roasters. That'd be great. Yeah, he could do that cover of One Vision by Queen where they end with fried chicken. All right. In 1975, Mike released a second album called Railhead Overture. In 1981, he produced Dolly Parton's hit album, 9 to 5, and Odd Jobs. And then in 1997, he produced Van Halen 3.
This is the one with Jerry Sharon that had the music in the Lethal Weapon movie.
Yes, that...
Fire in the Hole?
Yes, exactly. It's funny. The only thing I can think of is the More Than Words song, which was not Van Halen, but that was extreme with Gary Cherone.
And I bet you played the crap out of that as a wedding DJ.
I did, yes. Ugh.
Actually, Stacy and I used an Extreme song for our wedding, but it wasn't that one.
Really? There were other songs by Extreme?
That were worth dancing to, yeah. Oh. It's When I First Kissed You.
Do we need to do Extreme? Do we need to do Extreme for Soundography, Hammond?
I would love to do Extreme.
How many out? Like two albums, if that?
No, they've got like five, maybe. Ooh,
all right. Maybe.
The first three are really good. The rest of them aren't so great, okay. But the first three are actually really good.
Right, yeah, let's put them on the list.
Okay.
Put him on the list. His big break came after he started collaborating with Pete Carpenter on the theme for the Rockford Files. The theme gained top 40 radio airplay, and it also earned a Grammy, which is really cool to see for a TV show.
Isn't that show something that Steven Schleicher is like totally an expert in?
Oh, yeah. Steven Schleicher and Scott Johnson. I mean, they love that show. And with good reason. I mean, you know, Jim Garner is awesome. And I mean, I remember watching that with my mom. Big fan of that show. My mom was.
I think I've only watched. I think I watched Vegas more than I watched Rockford Files.
Yeah, yeah, makes
sense. Because they used to be on this. They were contemporaries of each other.
They were. They were on around the same time. You'd think that I would have watched Vegas. I don't remember ever watching Vegas, but I probably should go back and watch Vegas. I don't know. He won another Grammy for his theme for Hill Street Blues in 1981, and another in 1988 for L.A. Law. Music from L.A. Law and Otherwise was an album that he released in 1988. He also had more crossover success with the theme to The Greatest American Hero, that theme song that had, oh man, what's the guy's name?
George Costanza?
No, but you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Joey Scarborough. Joey Scarborough is the vocalist. That's the one I was trying to remember.
And the only reason I watched that show was Connie Selica.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you watch Hotel?
I did watch a little bit of Hotel.
Because that's the only other thing I associate with Connie Selica. Wasn't she married to John Tesh, or isn't she married to John Tesh?
I think she is married to John Tesh. Still.
Okay, so now I've exhausted all my Connie Selica knowledge. Wasn't the Toyota Celica named after Connie Selica? Just spelled it completely differently. The Law and Order, dun dun, has entered popular culture, but I can't do it justice. You're going to insert it right here.
Yep, I sure will. In fact, I might insert it almost after every sentence.
That would be really funny. Or between every name in this list. Here is a list of more shows that he composed the themes for. The A-Team. Ba Ba Black Sheep. Blossom. Which, another connection to a previous Soundography subject, was sung by Dr. John. Chips, The Commish, Doogie Howser. Oh, that was a classic one. Hardcastle and McCormick, News Radio, Prophet, Renegade, Silk Stockings, 10-Speed and Brown Shoe, The White Shadow, Wise Guy, Roughnecks, Law and Order, as mentioned, and Philly. And we'll talk about a few other ones later on in the show. He also did the score for a 1994 episode of Diagnosis Murder. In 1994, Post released the album Inventions from the Blue Line. It contains several of his well-known themes. It plays like a tribute to members of law enforcement, covering themes from a number of his cop dramas, and contains the Blue Line, which Post called the camaraderie theme.
Yes.
Pete Townsend even wrote a song called Mike Post Theme, which appeared on The Who's 2006 album.
Late at night, we're in a video game dream. There is no lover in this number scene. We summon every childhood ghost we've seen. Then suddenly we hear that Mike Post theme.
This song is so great because the whole song is about the ubiquity of Mike Post music in TV. Yeah,
I listened to that this morning too, because it was like, oh man, I did not realize this existed. And I even have that album. So I had to do that. He also recorded a couple of years ago. So if you buy the DVD for Iron Man 3, I believe it's Iron Man 3 comes with this.
Is the one that has the cover of Let's Go All the Way?
Oh, I don't know if it does. Is there a cover of Let's Go All the Way by Sly Fox?
No, yeah. Not the ICP version that
Okay. But there's another one. All right. That I don't know. But for that DVD, yeah, it was three because it features the Mandarin, or really specifically Jeremy.
Evan?
No. It was it's Ben Kingsley's character, but he plays Trevor Slattery. It's basically a one shot that's added to the DVD of Ben Kingsley getting interviewed by an actor I can't remember. Oh, Scoot McNairy. He's the guy from *Halt and Catch Fire*. He's been in a bunch of things, and I'd forgotten that he had his connection now to the MCU because of this. But he's in prison interviewing Trevor Slattery, and Trevor is talking about all the stuff that he's done, including a TV show called Caged Heat, which they show the intro to, and it's this perfectly done 1970s fake television intro featuring Ben Kingsley as Trevor Slattery. And then it's like, it goes through all these characters and you see the whole like action shot with a freeze frame of the character. And then the very end says, music by Mike Post. And it's like, it is so beautifully self-referential that I've got to use that at some point in some sort of trivia thing, because it's great.
So also, we kind of missed this, but in 1988, he also released Encore. It's Post time. And on it, it's got, A-Team, Selling It, Saying Elsewhere.
This is one that I listened to a lot this week for clips.
Yeah, it's got two Terms of Endearment, but he also covers Footloose, Riptide. Yeah,
which confused me at first. I was thinking, how is he involved with some of these? And you kind of realize that, okay, it's just him doing covers of it. He's not at all involved with it, thank goodness. Well, let me rephrase that. I mean, it's just interesting to hear him do these covers. But a Culture Club, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Christopher Cross's Think of Laura, which makes the second time I've talked about Christopher Cross today. I'll never mention him for like another 8 months. Yeah, it's crazy because when I first saw this list, I thought, wow, did he work with Kenny Loggins and write Footloose, and Kenny Loggins just performed it? Same with, Against All Odds, Phil Collins, but no, fortunately it was, just him covering it, which is an interesting thing in and of itself.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of his statistics and general notes.
One of the things that I noticed when I was doing research was that BMI and Mike Post created the Peter Carpenter Fellowship in 1989. The Peter Carpenter Fellowship is an annual competitive residency for aspiring television and film and video game composers. So they've actually really done something good with their notoriety and with their like genre of work to help other people, get notoriety and move forward in the field.
That's really cool.
He has had The Rockford Files, Manhattan Spiritual, Greatest American Hero, Hill Street Blues, Magnum P.I., and L.A. Law all chart on the Billboard Hot 100 or the Adult Contemporary charts.
That's and I can't imagine that there's any other TV theme writer that has had that many of his songs go, become hits. Maybe, they might be giants, had their Malcolm in the Middle thing, Bare Naked Ladies and the Big Bang Theory theme, I'm sure also charted.
Cake with Chuck.
Oh, right. But I mean, who can you think of that's done multiple, that would have had multiple themes go big? I can't think of any. You can't count The Who. you can't retroactively count all the CSI shows. That's awesome. Well, and if you've seen Mike Post in concert, I'm kidding. You've never seen Mike Post in concert. Well, you probably haven't seen him in concert.
And he's 74 years old or something like that. He's still kicking and doing things.
And this photo of him on the front of that It's Post Time album that you mentioned a second ago, it's like he's conducting wearing what he just got off the the dock from sailing around the harbor listening to Hall & Oates wearing. But I don't know if he's ever actually performed and conducted live, but
I bet you there's a, I bet you he has like the Hollywood Bowl or something.
You know, I'd go see that too. Like go see him perform all these live with a full orchestra. That'd be rad. It'd be so cool.
Yeah.
All right. But let's talk about covers. And in this case, we're not going to talk about, oh no, I guess it is. It, we always talk about who we'd like to hear cover his music. I'll start. I think Postmodern Jukebox doing a cover of the theme from The Greatest American Hero would be the greatest thing ever. And for that single and that single only, they would call themselves the Mike Postmodern Jukebox. You like that?
Yes.
And I,
How long did you work on that? How long did you work on that?
It took me 5 seconds.
Wow. You're a gifted comedian.
But, and if they got Puddles from Puddles Pity Party, who's done like a couple Sia covers with Postmodern Jukebox, if they got him to sing it, it would be absolute perfection. So I'm going to reach out to Scott Bradley and suggest they do this and I'll.
That's a great, a great thing. So there's an enigmatic guitar player named Buckethead.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he got his name because he wears a bucket on his head.
Like KFC bucket, right?
Yeah, and speaking of KFC, have you seen the new one where RoboCop is the colonel?
No, which RoboCop? Is it?
Peter Weller.
It is Peter Weller, really? It's not
I think it might be, I think it might actually be Peter Weller. I don't know, but it's RoboCop as the colonel.
It's, it's actually, he's doing RoboCop as the colonel.
Yes, it is not Peter Weller. It's RoboCop.
That's awesome. Oh, it totally is Peter Weller. Look at that. Oh, man. All right, I'm watching this as soon as we're done.
Anyway, Buckethead's played with Guns N' Roses for a short time, but he's got this really eclectic kind of way of presenting music, and he uses a kill switch on the guitar that makes it kind of a rhythm instrument as well as a guitar. It's very cool. I want him to cover Magnum P.I. The reason I want him to do that, he's such a unique guitar player and he's got such a unique take on how music is formed that I think he could really do some very interesting things melodically and rhythmically with the Magnum P.I. theme song. Song that everyone knows that Jordan or that Buckethead did was called Jordan. Very cool song.
You know, and it's funny, when he was playing with Guns N' Roses and I saw him but did not see who it was, I actually thought, oh, Slash is kind of giving up the top hat. You know, it's like, I seriously thought, oh, Slash is like, you know, he's got his hair tucked under there. He's going to play with a bucket on his head, a chicken bucket instead of his traditional top hat. But obviously two different people.
Well, that's a Slash in a bucket.
Slash in a bucket. Wow. Which is available for $2.99 on their lunch menu. Let's start talking about our playlists for Mike Post. This was this was a relatively easy one for me because, and you for you as well, because both of us, as soon as you got the notes done, we marked our territory.
Actually, the notes weren't even done when we started marking
territory. That's
right, exactly. It's like the last episode when we started marking our territory.
We did. You basically had the template up. With no other data except for our our playlist. And like you and I are both like, nope, taking that one. I'm taking this one. this is one I absolutely had to include because it's one of my favorite shows of all time. And I think the theme song is perfect for it. It is the Quantum Leap theme. And this is a great example of what I think is the signature Mike Post thing, which is a call and answer. Like he'll do, he almost does musical through lines that ask a question and then provide an answer. So it's, let's see, how does it go in Quantum Leap? It's dun, 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 da-na-na-na-na-na-da-da-da-da. And it's you know, very much call and answer, like, what's he doing? He's time traveling. You can do that with all these things, right? Like,
oh yeah.
My next one is the Rockford Files. Oh no, wait, this is the perfect call and answer. And then the answer.
Clips this week. I'll just have Brian do them all.
Just have me. I'll totally do them all. Are you kidding me? One, happily. No, but it's such a trademark of his theme songs. This whole call and answer works beautifully too. It is almost like you could write lyrics from the audience asking the question and the show answering the question. And I think that's fantastic. It reminds me the TV show Love that was on Netflix, had two or three seasons. Really, really good show with Gillian Jacobs from Community and it was the guy who played Gus, and I can't remember the guy's name, the actor. He's really good though. And it's this nerdy guy who hooks up with this hot mess played by Gillian Jacobs. And one of the things that Gus does with all of his nerdy friends is they're all musicians and they'll write theme songs for movies that don't have theme songs, but it's theme songs with lyrics. And they always try to work in the movie theme or the movie title into the lyrics. And yeah, I can't do it justice, but yeah, you and Stacy should watch that show together because it is so well done and cute. And any couple where you feel like one of the members of the couple is way nerdier than the other member of the couple needs to watch this and appreciate it.
Not it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Then I'm not it either. Yeah. No, not me. Yeah. No, I'm not it. All right. So that's that's Rockford Files. Greatest American Hero is my next one. And I mentioned Joey Scarberry is the one credited with the song because when it charted, he's the vocalist, and so he gets credit with it. But it was Mike Post who wrote it. Anybody who's ever watched Seinfeld will ever connect this song, will ever not connect this song with George Costanza's answering machine. As a matter of fact, if I were to try and sing this song, I'm not sure if my rendition would be all Joey Scarborough lyrics or if it would be a hybrid of Joey Scarborough and George Costanza lyrics. It might be a combination of both.
You've kind of Mandela affected the song, so it's always the Costanza.
So. I'll at least have to catch myself and say, believe it or not, George isn't home. And I'll say, oh, I walk in on air. But yeah. And then NYPD Blue is my number four. It's all drummy. But then it's almost like it's being performed by two different bands and somebody's just got the fader switch going back and forth between them because it gets all it goes from drummy to drama into the like da, 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 da. But if you listen to the a cappella or you listen to the extended version, which you'll find on one of the EPs that we're going to link to, it gets this weird, like, you know, stuff in the background, weird a cappella vocals, bizarre, really bizarre.
Well, just looking at this, you really like his cop dramas. 3 out of 5 are basically law enforcement dramas.
Well, he likes his cop dramas too. I mean, if we look at yours. Okay. 3 or 4 of yours are cop dramas too.
I have a prequel to a sci-fi one in my
last. Yes, you do. And then the last one is Hill Street Blues. this because I can play that opening on the piano, the bling, 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 bling. So next time you see me, if there's a piano around, let me know and I'll play it for you.
I can play Tubular Bells.
Oh, that's cool.
And Home Sweet Home. And Home
Sweet. Do you play it on the Glockenspiel?
No, I have a piano, or I can actually do it on the stick.
Oh, nice.
Too.
On the stick. That's Chapman stick for those of you who aren't in the lingo.
Yeah. Sorry. Go back and listen to the shows. Yeah, it's all there.
Before. All right. Hit me with your playlist.
All right. So I've mentioned it before. My number one, and it was one I had as soon as we knew we were doing Mike Post and it showed up on the show notes, I wrote it down. And that's Magnum P.I. I love this song. It's always been something in my head. Anytime I've gotten in a car that looks like it could go fast, I sing it in my head, sometimes out loud, depending on who's in the car or not in the car with me. It's for whatever reason, I feel like it's part of my musical history, like intrinsically, that and like One Night in Bangkok. Oh, and Metallica's Ride the Lightning. But yeah, it's great. And then my second one is the theme song from the TV show Chips. My next one is The Tales of the Gold Monkey. Did you ever watch this show?
I never even heard of this show.
Okay, this is a great show. It's kind of like a TV Indiana Jones, and he's on these South Pacific islands looking for a gold monkey. And it's very swashbuckly period, you know, stuff. I think Ernest Borgnine might be in it.
Okay.
It's a great show. And I didn't realize he had done the theme until this week. And all it does is make me want to buy the set on DVD and watch the whole thing over again.
Huh. Yeah, I might have to look for this.
It's such a quirky 80s swashbuckly TV show, though. I mean, it's so pure 80s. It's kind of, it's a little bit hard to watch, I bet. I bet you it didn't hold up well, but I remember having such a great time watching it. Then I picked the theme song from Hardcastle and McCormick. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't like the show very much. It was about a guy who was on some sort of work release for a judge.
And one of them was, his partner was British or something. Am I thinking of the right one?
I don't know if he was British or not, but it was two guys. One was a judge and the other guy was a criminal that he had kind of on a short leash working for him. They always did these things where it was kind of legal, kind of not legal. Again, 80s TV.
Yeah, right.
And he had this really fancy kit car. It wasn't really a Ferrari, but it was very reminiscent of one.
Okay.
It was like a fiberglass body kit car. And it had a great theme song. The theme song to the TV show had lyrics to it, and I remember really enjoying them. And I love the song. But I didn't really get into the show. I used to listen to the theme song and then change it.
Yeah. I would totally do that. I'm trying to think of what theme song I love, like a theme that I love from a TV show I didn't like. And I'm sure that there's some. I can't think of any right now. But
well, I felt the same way about SWAT when I was a kid. I loved the theme song for SWAT, but I couldn't watch the show.
Okay. I don't know that.
First time I actually enjoyed SWAT was when it was a Samuel L. Jackson, Colin Farrell
film. Oh, the remake.
Film.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember SWAT at all. I mean, I remember the TV show existing, but I couldn't tell you anything else about it.
That was a gamble. That was a Hawkeye prequel too.
What do you mean? It had Jeremy Renner?
Yeah.
Oh, really? The SWAT, yeah, the SWAT had, movie?
Had,
yeah.
Yeah, SWAT movie had... Because
Jeremy Renner would have been 8 years old when the TV show SWAT came out. Yeah.
No, it's a Hawkeye prequel, and it's Samuel L. Jackson's in it too. So it's a Sergeant, it's a Nick Fury prequel too, huh. And a Bullseye. Oh my gosh.
Oh, really? Oh, right. Because Colin Farrell. Yeah, right. Yeah. Wow. Three, well, at least two MCUers.
One kind of
tangentially related.
Yeah. No one really counts that Ben Affleck Daredevil film.
As well, they shouldn't.
Have you guys film sacked that yet?
No, we have not. And apparently we need to, because I forgot everybody who was in that. I was going to say, we have neither film sack SWAT or Daredevil.
And both of those would be good.
Both of them would be good, yes. Probably better than Saturn 3. No, I'm kidding. I'd like to see Saturn 3 only because of Farrah Fawcett.
Okay, my last one is the theme song from the TV show Hunter.
All right.
Now, why wouldn't we love this? It's the Captain Sisko prequel.
Right. Yeah. The Avery, Avery Brooks.
Yes. I loved Hunter. Mm-hmm. And I discovered it once it was in syndication. So it was a very strange thing for me because it was already a little dated and not quite as cool when I found it. Mm-hmm. But when I did, it was one of those things. It was a must watch afternoon TV thing on TBS. Mm. When I did discover it.
It's funny. And it's another one that I don't think I've seen, but probably need to.
When I was in college, I actually planned my semester schedule around the TBS back-to-back showings of Hunter.
Oh, the days of pre-DVR and pre-streaming.
I had to plan my schedule so that my class would end. I could walk back to the house, watch the show, and walk back to campus and get up there for the rest of the afternoon.
That's great.
I didn't have a problem, I promise.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all. Oh, that's awesome. Well, very good. That's a solid list. And I think, you know, basically any Mike Post compilation you find out there is going to have most of these on there. There's no way to stay away from quote unquote greatest hits with this one. So,
well, and that's kind of what all he did. I mean, really, right. I mean, the fact that I included Tales from the Gold Monkey, which was.
Yeah, that is the biggest deep cut that we had in this list. Deep cut. We're going deep for that one. Awesome. Well, very good. Well, our next episode is going to be about Kenny Wayne Shepherd. This is a good one because, again, I'm coming into this with familiarity of the name, and that's about it.
I loved his first album, and then I fell off the Kenny Wayne Shepherd bandwagon because other things cropped up. But that first album of his, he had a couple of songs on there that I absolutely love.
And remind me, blues, right? Not country, but blues.
Yeah, this is a straight up blues guy.
Okay, cool. For some reason, I'm thinking, oh yeah, country singer Kenny Wayne Shepherd, but I'm not. I'm confused. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to hear from you. We want you to get in touch with us. And the best way to do that is to type this into your email program, soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @TheSoundography. You can visit our website, soundography.com. That's your one-stop shop for everything about our show. You'll find past episodes with links to playlists, our Spotify playlist for every episode, links to Amazon where you can buy our recommended greatest hits album or best album to buy from that musician. Everything. It's all right there at soundography.com. You can also support us. If you love the show, well, we'd love you to love us with some money. However little you want to give us, listen, I'll be honest. We'll love you whether or not you give us any support on Patreon, but you know, we'll love that too. If you can, that's great. If you can't, we understand. And we will still hug you when we see you in person.
You know what? If you can't, then tell a friend.
Tell a rich friend. Yes. Tell one of your wealthy friends about supporting us on Patreon. Check it out, patreon.com/soundography. And we're in the middle of getting stuff together. I've already got some really cool items. I don't even know if I want to tease what they are. I might have already said, but half of the things that we're sending to our Patreon supporters are in, and we're just waiting to finish designing the other half. And when those are both done and made, then we'll get them out to you. And of course, if you have a review, leave it for us wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. We're now on Spotify. If you do a search for Spotify or do a search for Soundography on Spotify, as I can tell some of you already have. Oh, look at that. We've got numbers.
Well, our playlists have been living there since the inception of the show, so it's about five shows there.
It's all come full circle. So if you want to listen to us on Spotify, you can just do a search for Soundography. That's it. We'll be back next week for Kenny Wayne Shepherd. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying we'll see her next time on Soundography.
Aren't you proud of me? I didn't even see Dream Theater this week.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.